helped with the snow and the kind of climate or whatsoever, and then my body is reacting to it and adjusting to it. And then I came one day, as I was praying to the Lord, I saw this on Fox. He likes to really listen to Fox News. And I never heard about Philippines anymore. I always hear about what's happening in the U.S. and the coronavirus and all this. And I was, every night, I speak to different churches. God has given me the privilege to speak to Escondido in my first week here. And as I speak, then when we go home, I chill during the night. And then when I speak to another church, I'm okay. Then I go preach. And then when I get back home, I feel, sick again. But the Lord has sustained me. But when I saw the news, I saw this, like, I asked him, can I go back to the Philippines? I said, I want to go back to the Philippines. I want to worship the Lord at the top of my voice. And I want to go to people who are doing a lot of selfie and making faces like that, feeling so happy and not chilling all the night. And then, but as I was listening to the news, I was like overwhelmed with the things that is happening in this world. And the things that is happening around us today, you will hear the wickedness of man, the crookedness, if you listen to the news. Why are they thinking that way? You will think it. The calamities, the diseases that you don't understand, the coronavirus, the wars, the hopelessness and brokenness of people. And also, we should admit it, that there are churches nowadays that are suffering and are frustrated in a way. Leaders, it seems like the story of Moses, that they need someone to hold their hand up because they are feeling burdened in their shoulders that they want to give up. And that is what's happening around us today. You know what the Lord is saying to me? I said to the Lord, I cried and I prayed, and my husband didn't know this. And I said to the Lord, Lord, when this thing's going to an end? Are you not really coming yet? I asked the Lord, are you not really coming yet? Are you going to wait for all of us to die with coronavirus before you come? We didn't even know that all of those people who died have Jesus in their hearts. I argued with Jesus. And you know what the Spirit of the Lord told me? Della, until the trumpet sound, there's always work to do. Come on, keep going. Keep working. And so this morning, God wants us to be reminded of that urgent call, that we are preservers and reflectors of God's light to this hopeless world. Matthew 5, 13 to 16, that's the focus of our study today. Believers are salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned again? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. But I would like also to read, just stop me, Pastor, if you want to stop me. Okay, read NLT translation. You are the salt of the earth, but What good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. So this is kind of like more clear. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then put it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Father in heaven. In Matthew 4:19, Christ called his disciples and told them, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." This is always, I always have a struggle with this, you know, kind of thing. Because there are many Christians who said, like, if you are called to the ministry, they are thinking of another sidelines, you know. Forgive me, but this is my personal experience with the Lord. And then there's a supervisor, when I was in the Philippines, I'm working in the district office, and I was called, like, I am pastoring a church already, and I was asked to manage a canteen so that we can earn money. And as I was managing there, I was helping with the cooking because we are feeding the kids in the campsite. And then I got burned and then got deficit with our, you know, sales. And I cried to the Lord and I said, "Lord, what is this?" And the Lord is saying to me, "Did I call you? You are to fish men and not to look for money." Now, when we are called in the ministry, the Lord is obliged to provide for us. Amen? When we are called to the mission field, the Lord is obliged to supply all our needs. The Lord is obliged to open the doors of heaven and pour out his blessings and provide the needs that we need in the field. Praise the name of Jesus. But in Matthew 5:13-16, we see here that Jesus tells his disciples further what he designed them to be. And that is also the same message that is resounding every day in our life as a Christian, as a member of this church, as people who claim that we are saved by the Lord, that God is calling us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. He expected us to be. Amen? So if we look back to the times when we were not yet brought into the kingdom of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we can tell a lot of different background we have. Maybe we hate our background. I don't have a good background. I have a dark moments in my life that there are many times, maybe in your life, in my life, that we don't want to remember those things that's happening in our life, that we want to erase them in the subconscious of our mind so that we can move forward. But the Lord brings someone to us who bring hope of message of salvation, the message of God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And then we came to know Jesus and we enjoy the life and the love of Jesus. We enjoy the promise of God that our past is being forgotten and we are being made new in Jesus. And now we are all to remember that because of what Jesus did in your life, you have responsibility, a call to respond. Be the salt and be the light of this world. So Jesus, when he meant it is you, don't look for someone else. He meant it's you. You alone. If he called you Don't say, are you sure, Lord? Because God's calling is not a suggestion, people of the Lord. It is a command. Amen. When I teach children, I said, the Bible has three things inside of it. A command, a warning, and a promise. If it is a promise, claim it. If it is a warning, avoid it. But if it is a command, obey it. Amen. So if you are salt, then season. Amen. If you are light, shine. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you are salt, season. If you are light, shine. Amen. So there is an urgency to respond to that call every day. Well, it's just a call for the disciples in the past. Remember, every day, God is telling you, be a preserver of the world. Be a light of the dark. That is a call, and it is every day's resounding call in our Christian walk with the Lord. So, how? If it is urgent, because the time is evil. In Ephesians 5:16, making the most of your time because the days are evil. We are living in a perilous time where sin is a norm. Where people doubt with the truth and believe in the lie. Isn't that happening now? It's happening now. People are so confused. It is urgent because we already run out of time. We said that, oh, it was long time ago, the same God saying, I'm coming soon. And why is it that Jesus isn't coming? Everybody is dead already. But we are closer. Every day we get closer. Amen. And the same word that said he is coming is never changing. It's the same word. Amen. And so we keep believing. Don't you ever forget that we are not citizens of this earth. We are citizens of heaven. So therefore, we have to do our responsibility. So we let us not just stand in awe of God's wonder and enjoy of God's amazing love in our life and watching the world decaying and rotten. We have a job to do. You have a job to do. You know, it's really urgent because after people died, the judgment, according to Hebrews 9:27, no more time to be lazy. No more time to just walk away. But it is the time because the time is running out. So now if it is urgent, what is your response? If it is urgent, it needs an urgent response. So the response should be, yes, Lord, ASAP, I'll do it. Is it your response? Like Pastor, this morning after the prayer for the missions team to go, that even if they're going, you're part of it because you need to support in prayer. You need to support financially maybe. You need to support in whatever things that you can do to be part of this effort of reaching out to the nations. Amen. Amen. Do it ASAP. If God speaks to you right now, do it ASAP and don't doubt the word of the Lord in your life. So how can we do it if it's urgent? How should we do it? Number one, be distinct and make a difference. Amen? Verse 13. So the common denominator of salt and light is their uniqueness. Your uniqueness is the common denominator. Once you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, No? There's a song that says, why have you chosen me? Out of millions, your child to be. You know all the wrongs I've done. God has chosen you and brought you out of darkness so that you will bring light to people. So you are now distinct. You're being unique. You are not the same. You no longer live in the world, but the Lord has separated you and made you clean, made you distinct. If you are the salt, season. If you are the light, shine. So there's nothing quite like salt. There's nothing like light. There's nothing that you can do to do something like to make it almost the same. It is distinct. So just as salt is different to anything and light is distinct from anything, so Christians, we are distinct from the world. Amen? So your life is empowering other people. Your life testimony is a blessing to people. You are giving out, when you share your testimony, people that hear your testimony will really come to know Jesus. People will hear your testimony. They will think of, why is it different? What's the difference with these people? So without salt, people of God, life cannot be sustained. When I got sick within this week, my husband is really having a problem. In fact, he cried. He doesn't understand me. Why? Every time he tried to make me eat, I can't taste the food. And I came to just feeling so like, I'm actually losing weight a lot. It's really hard when you cannot taste the salt and the taste of the food because you really don't like to eat it. When without salt, human life cannot be sustained. So in 1 John 5:12, the life of Jesus that is in you will be the life that we can give and share so that others will receive hope, life in Jesus. In 1 John 5:12 says, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever doesn't have the Son doesn't have life. So through our lives, people will see Jesus. Through our life, people will be drawn to the light of Jesus. So we need to be distinct. We are to be seasoned with the gospel of grace. Amen. The way we talk can encourage people. Our thoughts, the way we think, our affection, our words, our action are seasoned with the seasoned of grace. It is seasoned with grace. In Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. In NLT, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Another thing, to be distinct, we are not just to be seasoned with the gospel of grace, but we must not only be good, but do good. Amen. 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 Overcome evil with good. Amen. Overcome evil with good. You must not only be good, but do good, that they may transform them into the taste and pleasure of the gospel. Amen. The life that we have, the testimony that we have, the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we carry our lives, that if we say we are Christians, we are affecting people around us. If we say we are Christians, people will see hope in us. We must not only be good, but do good, that they might transform into the taste and pleasure of the gospel. So there's a quote that says, if you cannot beat them, join them. Well, some Christians says, it's really hard nowadays. And there are, especially the young people, there's a tendency of like blending into, I don't know if I'm using the right words, blending into, and then it's not recognizable anymore. Because, you know, they're going to be... they won't allow me to be their friends if I won't go with them. But you know what? Yeah. If the world is saying, like, if you cannot beat them, join them. But in Galatians 6:9 encourages us, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap the harvest if we do not give up. Don't give up. Don't give up of doing good. Don't give up of showing your light. Don't cover up. Don't cover yourself. But be part of the great commission of the Lord. Get involved in the work of the Lord. Don't say to Pastor Dennis, oh, Pastor, you are just the one licensed to do that. You wait until I'm, you know, feeling like I want to be licensed too, so that I can lead the prayer in the church. God wants us to be involved. And once we are involved, don't you ever give up. Don't you ever give up. Another thing. We are not just like to be distinct and make a difference. But number two, be intimately close to Christ. In order to prevent the world from affecting us, we must stay close contact with the ultimate influence, Christ Himself and His words. Don't go away from there. We have to get closer to Christ every day, every day. The doctrine of the gospel is salt. It is penetrating. It is quick. It is powerful. In Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful. Amen. The word of God is alive and powerful. It preserves from the decaying world. It is an everlasting gospel. So therefore, we should not be afraid. For the gospel that God has given us is the gospel that gives us eternal life. And this gospel is everlasting. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Christians, we should not lose our saltiness. Because if we lose it, how can it be made salty again? That is God's warning for all of us. That is the danger. And how we lose this kind of saltiness in our life is when we are diluted with something else. When we are mixed, the only way salt can lose its saltiness is to be mixed with something else. If we are not salting the world, if we are not seasoning the world, If our life, if our Christian life is not affecting the world is going to rotten us. The world is going to rotten us. No wonder why there are churches nowadays that are really suffering, like reading a lot of books, discipleship whatsoever, but forgetting the urgent call of the Lord, that is to stay close to God. That is to stay intimately close to Jesus, who is the source of our ultimate influence. So, it is with us. We must expose ourselves to Jesus. Amen? Day by day. John 15:4, it says, "Remain in me and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." We have to stay close to the ultimate source of life, Jesus. Spend time with His Word. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God's breath. And is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness. We have to spend time in His Word. If we spend time with His Word, then there's no more scarcity or danger of being rotten by the world. Soak up yourself in prayer. You know what? We don't have to wait until Sunday. Don't wait until Sunday before you will be filled with the Spirit of God. Don't wait until Sunday before you can pour out your praise to Jesus. Don't wait until Sunday before you can kneel and pray. A weekly contact with God give us a weak influence. But a daily contact with God, a daily contact with God, give us a great, powerful influence. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Number three, be a life testimony for Jesus. In verse 14 and 15 of Matthew chapter 5, all Christians are light in the Lord. In Ephesians 5:8, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Amen? And then, not just that all Christians are light in the Lord, but we must shine as lights. We must shine as lights in Philippians 2:15, that you may become blameless, harmless children of God without fault in the midst of crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Amen? Because Christ Himself is the light of the world. Therefore, in John 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And they are workers together with Him. We are workers together with God. So light is very sweet. Light is very sweet. There is a story of, it's a joke actually, that there is someone in the church who likes to sleep every time the pastor is preaching. So, in the middle of pastor preaching, he was snoring already. But while the pastor is preaching, there was blackout. So when he get you know, when he opened his eyes, he was awakened in the middle of the blackout. He screamed to the Lord and prayed so loud, "Lord, please give me back my sight." We are the light of the world. That's why I don't sleep during the preaching. I'm just kidding. And then number four, and the last, be an influence for a worldwide challenge. Amen. Amen. The disciples of Jesus said to them, be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And then after many, many years, in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In Matthew 5:14, our influence, however small or great, will be seen. Amen. The Christian seasoning is something to be tasted by the world. The Christian seasoning is something to be experienced by your neighbor, by your workmates. The kind of Christian life that you're enjoying every day is something to be imparted to your neighbors. We have to be tasted. Whatever you say, like, maybe my light is very large. You produce a large amount of light. Or maybe your light, Pastor, my light is just like a lamp, you know, blinking something. Or maybe just a Christmas light, you know, twinkling, twinkling little stars. But however tiny is the light, people of the Lord, even in the dark mountains, when the light is blinking, it is noticeable. So your light is always significant to this world. Be an influence to the world. You know, we are living in a world wherein there's like people are confused, you know. And it's hard for us to reach them out. You know, when Pastor Dennis came to the house and asked me to preach, and he was trying to tell me, this is what I want you to say or something. And he was talking about being able to reach out to the group of people nowadays, like, you know, let me say it, like LGBT. I have a hard experience in the Philippines dealing with young people. In fact, I have a song leader in the church. She's got a long hair, wear a dress. She's got an angelic voice, and she worshiped the Lord, lead in praise and worship, but later gone astray and having a relationship of the same kind. And you know what? I threw her 18th birthday and one, you know, thinking that the Lord will just use the strategy that I'm showing her the love. And then I ask the parents to come over to the house. I decorated the house. I have an 18th birthday debut for her. And you know what? She came with a cargo pants, and then I cried. As a pastor, I cried, Lord, you will take care of her. But you cannot outlove this kind of people. They are rotten. They're confused. They need the taste of Jesus' love in their lives. Don't give up. Keep praying for them. Keep reaching out your hands to them. Do not condemn them. Of course, we react because sometimes we get frustrated. But God, you are the only one. If Christians don't do it, nothing will do it. If you won't do it, nothing will do it. So we have to be influence in the world. We have to be. So God wants you and me not to reduce that kind of saltiness in your life. Don't you ever do anything that reduces the taste of Christian life. Reduce the light of Christ in your life. God wants you and me to keep on showing the love of Jesus to this world. I tried to see how the salt is being made in a traditional way. And I saw in a video that they brought the water from the ocean in a pail, and it is like dirty from there, and then they pour it and to filter it, and then they put it somewhere that they pour the water in there, and after how many days, then the salt is ready for harvest. You and me came from the darkness, but the Lord purify you to give taste to the world. And also the light, you know. The moon, I studied the moon. The moon is just like made out of rock and dust and dirt. But the moment the moon evolved and the sun is striking the, he will be aligned to the sunlight, then we have a romantic evening that we can hold the hand of our lover and walk at the beach. And then, you know, we have to sing Moonlight Night, and we feel romantic because the moon is very beautiful and it gives beauty. That is your life, and that is my life. Now, we have to evaluate as I close. Evaluate ourselves now as we launch into the field and be the life givers, be the reflectors of that light that Christ has given us, and be the bearers of that light. How is your light? Is it blinking? Pastor Dennis will come and pray for everybody. If you are a salt, is it the same taste that you have the moment you come to know Jesus? Or nowadays, it's beginning to be diluted? God is calling you to respond to Him. Be preserver and reflector of God's light.
Amen. Amen. Okay, church, are we ready to be light in darkness? Are you ready to be light in darkness? Are you ready to be salt in an unsalty world? So this morning, you may be here and you may be saying, I don't know what it is to have the salt of the Lord. I don't know what it is to have the light of the Lord. I've been in darkness. I've not received Jesus. Without receiving Jesus, you're not salt. Without receiving Jesus, you're not light. So if you're here this morning and it's your desire to receive Jesus, say yes to Jesus, would you just raise your hand? Yeah. Amen. Yeah, I'm running for it, man. Bring it on. Bring it on. Anybody else? Anybody else would say yes, yes. Yeah. If I could have you go over to Patricia and spend some time and pray with her. Jennifer is going to spend some time with you, Patricia, and pray with you and watch what God is going to do for us as well. There's some decisions to be made before we leave this morning. Have we allowed this world to remove some of our light and some of our salt. You know, and I know. So let's ask the Lord to refresh us, to re-illuminate us, so that when we go out, we have his light, we have his flavor, and we preserve those around us. Father, this morning, we come before you now, and we recognize, Lord, that there's areas in our life that your light is shining dimly, and we desire that light to shine brightly again, Lord God. Re-illuminate us. Baptize us anew and afresh with your Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would walk not in our own strength, but in yours. Father God, that we would not walk in our own flavor, but we would be preserved in you and be a preservation to those around us. So, Father, I pray that you'd fill us this morning anew and afresh. Father God, be with us throughout this week. Cause us to wake up early and be ready for what you have for us. So we thank you, Lord God, right now in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus.